Heyo, back with you on The Leader. Dieter Kurtenbach hanging out until 10 p.m. This is something that I like to do on KMBR tonight. You bring me in to fill in for Willard. You're going to get some Oakland A's talk. That is a promise. It's going to happen, and we're all just going to have to accept it because I think we're going to have a very interesting and informative conversation with Alex Coffey of The Athletic. She does a great job over there covering the Oakland A's, and we were joking before she came on the air. It's like covering two teams right now. You have to cover not just the Oakland A's baseball team, which is pretty darn good and pretty interesting, and I do want to talk about them, but also this whole stadium relocation, all this nonsense going on the side. So first and foremost, Alex, how are you doing? How are you holding up amid all of this?
Not sleeping very much, but other than that, I'm doing okay. A lot of screen time right now.
Right.
But it's okay. I can't complain. I think they're both important stories to cover. I can't neglect one in favor of the other. So
have you been looking at real estate in Las Vegas? Is this something that you've delved into at all?
I have not. I know they're visiting Vegas soon, but Vegas is one of a handful of sites that according to ESPN they're looking at. So I think it would be a little bit risky, maybe too premature. But maybe I'm naive. I don't know.
So let's just kind of give some brass tacks for folks who haven't really been caught up, because it gets real complicated and real confusing real fast. And we don't have to delve all the way into that stuff. But the date that now sort of resonates amid all of the aftermath of Major League Baseball getting the wink wink from the Oakland A's and saying, hey, if you guys want to go ahead and relocate, feel free to investigate relocation as sort of an effort to push the Oakland City Council into a vote. Now, there is a vote on July 20th. Can you fill in the audience on what that vote is actually about, what that will accomplish, whether it's passed or not on July 20th?
Yeah, so they'll be voting on a term sheet, something called a term sheet, which if you go to A's president Dave Cavill's Twitter account and you maybe like search term sheet Dave Cavill, you'll be able to find it. It's also on the A's website, but basically it's a document that kind of lays out, the financial plan that they have for the Howard Terminal project, like the community benefits that would be included in this project, just some of the details behind it. Okay. So that's what the city council will be voting on. And I do think it's important to note that while it's on their agenda for that meeting, they weren't required to vote by July 20th. It was just, the A's preference that they do it before summer recess, and obviously MLB's preference. Right. So, I see the city council putting it on their agenda as an act of, I don't know if goodwill is the right word, but, they're trying to prioritize, coming to some sort of conclusion.
You say it'd be a conclusion. Obviously, there'd be a whole lot of other processes that would have to happen after a term sheet is agreed to. But what would, if the city council gives you the four votes plus the mayor, if the A's get what they're looking for from the city of Oakland, what would that be? What does that term sheet do if it is ratified, approved, whatever the terminology might be?
Well, I think another thing that is kind of getting lost in the shuffle with all this stuff is that they still don't have, they only have a draft EIR right now.
Okay.
And
that's the environmental impact report?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know how prickly those can be.
Yes, they can. They can be very prickly. Until they have a finalized copy of that and that is certified, the project can't move forward. That's my understanding. So
there's a bunch of other votes on that, I imagine, down the line. Okay.
Yeah.
This all feels extremely premature to me, and I'm not in the belly of the beast like you, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like Major League Baseball coming out, whether at the A's request or not, and saying, hey, if you guys want to go look around, which is pretty much the A's trump card. They played the relocation card. It seems like they played that extremely early in the process so that they could have kind of an unimportant vote, all things considered, moved up a couple of weeks. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like they're pushing their chips to the middle of the table, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I think you could like look at it a couple of ways. I think, you know, when I read quotes from, you know, even like listening back to, I had an interview with Dave Cavill a couple, I think it was like a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the comments coming from this team are kind of, at least lately, are kind of forward thinking and talking about the stadium situation as if it's, I don't know, as if like a no vote is a foregone conclusion.
Okay.
A little like that's
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
Like
what no, they're counting their
I'm getting.
Counting their chickens before the eggs.
You know, there's a lot of talk about the effort that's gone in, right? Mm. So like how much money we've spent, how many years we've spent, how hard we've tried, mm-hmm. and how the Coliseum isn't viable. And you know, when I read stuff like that, and then you combine it with the news about them, you know, going on these site visits and stuff, that to me kind of, you know, makes it, like, in my opinion, just my takes, it makes it seem like, you know, that is where the priority is right now, you know, is relocation rather than kind of trying to get this done. So that's my read on the current situation as it stands.
What do you think would change that? As of right now, the way that, and these are just a couple of numbers, I don't want to throw too many out there, but They're looking for some waterfront land that the city of Oakland would effectively give them. They want to build a $12 billion multi-use rec room project, condos, all that stuff on that land at Howard Terminal. $1 billion of which will actually, you know, be the ballpark. So that shows you where the priorities are. They want to build a $1 billion ballpark amid $12 billion worth of construction. So again, baseball has always been John Fisher's top priority. And they want the city of Oakland to pay roughly $850 million to not only, you know, help clean up the area, but with the infrastructure around the area and all that. And that would be taxpayer money. Now, and then there's a whole argument on if it is taxpayer money or not. But effectively, the city of Oakland is paying $850 million to the Oakland A's through hook or crook in order for this to happen. If the city of Oakland does say, okay, yeah, the money is yours, does that change the relocation sort of priority or the 60-40, whatever split you have at it right now? Do you think that that then gets the A's to actually stay? Or is this whole situation such a pie in the sky option that it almost feels insurmountable even at this juncture?
I think it's unfathomable. If you know, if the city council votes yes on this term sheet, I have a really hard time believing that the A's, you know, just the PR blow that would come with them just leaving anyway.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, that just seems kind of unfathomable to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't care about that. Maybe, you know, maybe that doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I think that this is positioned in a way that, you know, either it doesn't really seem like they're very interested in negotiating, at least after talking to the city council president recently. She doesn't really feel, given the fact that they're doing site visits, that they're negotiating in good faith. So what that tells me is that, you know, if they're not going to negotiate, then it's either this deal or bust, right? This deal or relocation. So regardless, Fisher gets his, what he wants, right? So like the city council either votes on this term sheet on these conditions, you know, the $850 million coming from the two taxpayer funded districts. Mm-hmm. You know, the $12 billion project, which is, you know, depending on your perspective, more of a real estate development than it is a ballpark.
I think it's a 12-to-1 ratio there, all things considered.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty clear that it is maybe 11-to-1 if we're being generous.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing here is it's yes or no. And the A's are not. There's no, as you said, no negotiation happening. There's no wiggle room. There's no, well, we can take it. This is the deal. It is cut and dry. Take it or leave it. And if you leave it, we're leaving. That's the vibe that you get.
That's my read on it right now. Yeah. And it also should be another like small, you know, because I'm way too in the weeds about this stuff because I have no life. Mayor Schaaf is technically on the city council. So if it did come to a tie, she would be able to break the vote. And obviously everyone knows that two professional sports teams have left under her tenure.
Right.
So that might color her, you know, her vote.
you know, from what I'm hearing, you know, she's arguably the biggest proponent of the ballpark. If it does come down to a tiebreaker, the A's fully expect her at the very least, and I would too. And me and the A's don't really see eye to eye on most of these things, so I think this is an interesting distinction. Like they expect that she'll say yes, but. You know, the A's are essentially, I don't know how much you know about British politics or Canadian politics, but in parliamentary politics, and this is some great sports talk radio here, by the way, you get something called a snap election, right? It's when you are in charge and you call for an election in like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever the process might be, because you think you have a chance to maintain your majority, maintain, you know, control of the government. And the A's seem to me like they're calling a snap election. Now, from what I hear, you know, the A's at least think that they have the four of an 8-person city council. They think that they have four votes in the affirmative plus the mayor as the tiebreaker. What are you hearing about the votes? Because now there's some word on these streets of Oakland that they might not actually have the votes and that they might have messed up by calling this, you know, June or July 20th vote here because they might only have three. And if the city council says no. Well, if it's a take it or leave it situation, it has been left. It is over. It is done.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about the votes?
It's such a convoluted thing to think about because there's one school of thought that they want the city council to say no. So then they can point back to the city and say, look, we tried, you know.
Yes.
The city won't let us.
Self-fulfilling prophecy theory.
Yeah, exactly. But then you look at the actual term sheet, and one thing that is constantly brought up to me is that the financial plan isn't robust. So right now, you know, the city staff has financial analysts that are trying to, you know, dig into that and understand what some of the like long-term ramifications of this plan could be for taxpayers and, you know, and do all this within the A's artificial deadline, basically. So that's something to consider too. But as far as what I'm hearing, like with votes, the last I heard was that the city council does not respond well to, quote, aggressive tactics.
Yes.
And I think that this would fall under that that umbrella. But you know what? On the flip side, it does seem like they really are willing to talk to the A's, to work with the A's, and they're putting that out there. I'm not sure if you saw that letter that they sent to Rob Manfred.
Yes.
I think it was last week, but three members of the city council, including the council president, sent that to him, basically saying this isn't the way things are being portrayed. You know, us not being willing to negotiate is not accurate, and we are, you know, we're willing and ready. And so, you know, but I think that they're willing and ready to negotiate, you know, like, I don't think that my interpretation is that they're not willing and ready to like, just sign off on something that will,
of course,
you know, like have taxpayers be on the hook for $850 million, you know?
Yeah. You might want to have a deeper conversation about that, especially when you're a city like Oakland. I don't know any cities that are out there just willing to give up $850 million willy nilly, maybe Vegas, but even then. And that's kind of the thing I want to get to. You know, we talk about relocation, and if it comes to that, and I don't know if it will or it won't, but if it comes to that, are there any towns out here that want to be John Fisher's sugar daddy who wants to build him a ballpark for free and give him, you know, great real estate so that he can build his condos? Like, I'm thinking post-pandemic, there might not be much of a market for corporate welfare. What are you hearing?
Right. I don't think so either, but I mean, I don't really, you know, my introduction to all this stuff has been Oakland.
Right. That's a different beast entirely. They don't negotiate with terrorists here in Oakland.
No. So, that's a good point. I mean, the economy, you know, doesn't really set up for that kind of thing.
So Tony Kemp had a nice game today, huh?
Yeah, he did. I know. Yeah, shifting is so weird to shift gears from
as we head to the Coliseum, which is apparently an unviable place to play baseball. Tony Kemp had a nice day. I think he had six total bases, but the A's can't seem to get past these Houston Astros, who even without their cheating seem to still be pretty good at baseball. It's amazing what talent will do. What have you just made of the A's season to date? Because the first first week and a half was abysmal and bad vibes all the way through, to the point where even I'm like, the magic might have run out. And then they just rattle off 13 straight wins and get back into first place and have kind of evened out here a little bit. They started taking their meds. But what do you make of this A's team? Is it a little bit more of the same kind of, nothing's changed. They're just a little bit worse than last year, which is still probably good enough. Or do you kind of see a different vibe around them?
You know, I'm going to be completely honest. I have no idea what to make of this team. I still do not understand what is going on. But that, you know what? I feel that way about baseball in general. I mean, there's
no-hitter
every
day. Six no-hitters. Everybody's striking out all the time. It's home runs. I think that's extremely fair. No one knows what to make of baseball.
I do think that, to be fair, the Astros have a potent offense. And, they were coming off a really hot stretch entering this series. So I don't really read into this, them being knocked out of first place and stuff like that. I don't really read into this series that much just because of how well the Astros were playing. But in general, I mean, like, I don't know. I think that they're kind of like maybe like definitely above 500, but not, I think like wild card might be their path to the postseason if I had to guess.
I think that's fair. The Oakland A's are good but not great. It is the story of the Oakland A's. We have told it so many times, and this is just the latest iteration with some weird, funky new characters. Has anybody really surprised you in a positive way? Is anybody that maybe I should keep an eye on for fantasy baseball or something?
Yeah. I'm like such a Birch Smith fan.
The spin god.
Yeah, I think Birch Smith is incredible. I call him the silent assassin because he's like very unassuming looking.
Looks like a dude. Looks like they found him in the Coliseum crowd.
I know. It's like by the time people like look him up and look how they got, like research how they got him, which is cash considerations from the Giants, basically got him for nothing, highway robbery. He's like mowed down six batters or seven batters in a row. And, that guy's incredible. So he's one, he's not, I guess, really a new phenomenon because last year he was doing all that stuff before he got injured. Cole Irvin is another one. Another guy that they acquired for cash considerations. I don't know what the deal is.
Maybe this is why they need so much money from the city of Oakland. They keep buying dudes with cash considerations.
Yeah, just shelling out cash. He's another one who was temporarily supposed to replace Mike Fiers when he was on the IL, but he's earned a permanent spot in the rotation with the way that he's pitching. His start today was not the best because he really struggled against the Astros, but it's also the Astros, so
lock
take it
in.
Well, for what it's worth.
You missed earlier in the show when we played, I think I just put that in quotes, we played outside lands or middle reliever. Where we decided if a player was a middle reliever in Major League Baseball or if they were an artist at Outside Lands come October. Birch Smith is a very good name to play middle reliever or Outside Lands, but I do want to throw one at you here. I'm sorry, I hate to do this to you, but it is very fun, and it is very funny, and I fooled myself and I wrote him down. Is Evan McIntosh a Major League Baseball middle reliever or an artist who will be at Outside Lands in October? Evan McIntosh.
Evan McIntosh. I'm going to go with the latter.
Outside Lands?
Yeah.
This is why they pay you the big bucks over there at The Athletic. You nailed it.
There
it is. You are so much cooler than me at this one moment, and you need to carry that all the way through, that you knew that was not a Major League middle reliever, and in fact, it is an indie rock artist. Alex Coffey of The Athletic, thank you so much for joining us and breaking down the most complicated and ridiculous situation going on in sports. You did a great job, and we are very appreciative of your time and your patience, and we hope to talk again soon.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Dieter.
And congratulations on winning, by the way. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that with Alex. She's a great sport. And listen, this is hard. This is hard stuff. I'd like to think that I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in Oakland. Obviously, I care very deeply about the East Bay. I am an unabashed A's fan. I'm not wearing the split hat down the middle or anything. I care about both teams. It's important to me as an East Bay resident, someone who lives in Alameda, someone who rides their bike to the ballpark when I go, that the A, stay in Oakland. That's important to me. And at the same time, I'm not somebody who wants the city of Oakland, which has so many more priorities. Just, this should not be a priority. It has so many more important things that to spend its money on. I don't want the city of Oakland going bankrupt, even more so than it is, so that Dave Cavill and John Fisher can get some free land and build their condos. They've made their priorities very clear, and their priorities, if you haven't already noticed, based on the last, 10 years of John Fisher's ownership, is not baseball. So I don't want corporate welfare for somebody who has been a terrible steward of the civic institution that is the Oakland A's. But I would like to maintain the civic institution. And if they're going to basically blackmail the city of Oakland, I want the city of Oakland to stand up for itself and say, no, we're not being blackmailed. We're not negotiating with terrorists. But Alex has done a great job in covering it. It is complicated, right? Like, we are both asking questions to people every day about this, and I think we have very different perspectives on the matter. And I don't think it's a political thing or a difference in, belief or spectrum or anything like that. It's just that people, even on the inside, don't have a great grasp of what the hell's going on. And it's not for not, being smart. It's not for lack of information. It's just peculiar. There's just a peculiarity about this, and I hope that in due time that peculiarity goes away. But I also think it's important that we talk about it and we ask questions and we have an open dialogue about the situation, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, the Oakland A's in particular are running a massive PR campaign, and people in the city of Oakland government are running a massive PR campaign, and everybody's just trying to get their narrative out. It's good that we have a discussion. It can get a little bit murky. We can get a little bit into the weeds, as Alex referred to. But it's important that, this is, again, it's an important issue. And so it's important that we take the time and try to break it down every now and again. And very much do appreciate Alex coming on, and congratulations to her. That's a big win, being able to get the correct answer on outside lands or middle reliever. That's a big win. I feel like, if nothing else, we know that she's got the credentials to know that, in fact, Evan McIntosh is not a middle reliever. I'm looking at the sheet right now. And even I'm thinking, you sure that's not a middle reliever? You sure that guy doesn't come out of the bullpen for the Atlanta Braves or the Mets? He feels like a National League East middle reliever. Nope. Outside lands. And in fact, I'm going to verify that during the commercial break, which is long overdue. We will do Best of KMBR today, tonight, in the 9 o'clock hour. That's coming up in just a little bit. If you got something that you want to say, get it in now. 808-KMBR is the number. We will go over some stuff. And we'll find out if Evan McIntosh is, in fact, an artist or a middle reliever, because every time I look at it, I get more confused. Curtain box in for Willard here on the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.